I'd like to take this time just to tell you to eat my ass. What's going on, everybody? It's time for another edition of the Cruel Summer Slashback. I am Uncle Bill, and as you can see, the co-host of the show, CK's not here right now. Something happened to him. He went to a gym. He got a gym membership, and he went out there, and he was trying out some of the workout equipment. I haven't heard from him since then, so I'm not entirely sure what happened to him, but my money's on the fact he exploded while he was looking into a mirror. So we'll see, though. We'll see if he's able to join us. But for now, let's go over to the chat and see who's in here before we get this started. We have Sick Jim's in here. Vanderhoff's in here. Jackson Jack, as always. Goblin Incorporated. Now he's fucking incorporated. Robert Harp. Barbitzel Mayor's in here. Yeah, the pole is currently being erected, so I wouldn't worry about anything like that. Matthew Hara, thank you, man, for the t-shirt, helping out with that. I really appreciate that too. Justin Smith, who's always just bringing in the positivity. Old Black Peter, my oh my. What a Black Peter it is. And Scratch is in here. A Matter of Pat. Thank you, man, for the belated birthday wishes. How in the hell could you miss Friday Night Lives? That is the most anticipated and never duplicated show that there is. And that show, you should always check that out. That actual episode, especially towards the end of it, was fucking hilarious, too. There's a lot of stuff in that episode that I'm sure will make its way to clips coming soon.
Whoa! Oh, the pole is live! Oh, jump the on the pole!
Pole has been erected. Yeah, the painting bed caught on fire. What's up, Bulls? Ride the Whore Guy, Adrian James. Dante the Deer Hunter, Gory Tiger's in here. Everybody's in
hell
here.
Yeah. Welcome, everybody. And don't forget that we also have, like, I think this is technically, we're on Slasher After Tonight. What is it? 36
That's what you said,
Slasher man. Movies that we've reviewed over the last year or so. On here. Well, how crazy is that?
It really tells
who
you
who else does that shit.
What kind of life that we have. Reviewed that many slasher movies. Most all of them are horrible, but we found some real gems that we've never seen in this, though.
Yeah, this is going to be a fun episode, too, because for a very brief period of time there in the mid to late 80s, there was exercise horror movies. And and we're covering exercise slashers today. So, I mean, this is a tiny subgenre of another subgenre, Bulls. So we're just having a lot of fun this time going at it.
What would you call the subgenre of a subgenre?
Well, like the slasher is a subgenre of horror. What's a subgenre of a slasher movie?
So that's what I mean. What's the sub? What do you call a subgenre that's of a subgenre? That's like 2 degrees of subgenre.
That's what I'm saying. We're diving deep.
Is there a name? Is there a name for that though? Is it like micro genre?
It's a sub-square genre.
Sub-square genre. That makes sense.
There you go.
Geometry in here.
Yeah. But welcome everybody. This is going to be a fun show. We got a couple more weeks left of summer and the cruel summer slashback. So we will have a pretty fun announcement on next week's episode at the end of the show. And tons of other fun stuff. A lot of people are getting their copies, and I've got a bunch ready to go out this week. We have signed copies of the End of the Pit documentary on endofthepitthemovie.com. Those are coming out. We have a new item that's coming real soon that we're going to be talking about. We're going to be showcasing and telling you guys where to get that as well. But this one right here is not going to last forever, folks. So if you want the signed copy of Into the Pit, the shocking story of deadpit.com, you go over to endofthepitthemovie.com and get it. No!
Not right now. I thought this was actually a pretty good point, man. You should do a ranking of the slashback films at the end of the year. You could do a tier ranking of the slashback the films presented on
the best of the best, right?
Yeah.
Well, maybe that'd be a good one to do next year whenever if we do a year three, we can go through like the 40 ones that we've already done and rank those or something. I don't know.
Good Lord. That's crazy.
So, but is everybody seeing the poll? Because I'm looking on.
You see that poll up.
I'm looking on my, and it's probably something screwed up with my YouTube on my iPad, but I don't see it. So somebody will have to update us on the percentages here and everything. I don't even see the chat. So,
is the poll erect, though? That's the main thing that we need to know.
You got to get it up. Get that poll up, Bulls. I guess I could look on my phone.
Yeah, it apparently is.
Okay, the poll is up. As long as it's up, people can vote. And, yeah, we'll go ahead and get rolling here. But we appreciate everybody coming in. Down is up. 76 is in here, too. Business of Fear, Phantasm, Matt. Welcome, everybody. And this is... we have one show next week, and the week after next is the final episode for 2025. So definitely everybody tell your friends, family, and neighbors about these, because this one, I think this one here is maybe possibly the most fun episode of the entire year, I think, tonight.
Yeah.
I
want to say this real quick, though. There's no excuse. A lot of people on here are like, oh, I haven't seen either one of these movies. Why not? They're both on Tubi. They're both fucking free. Like, there's no reason you couldn't watch these movies.
And that's why we say ahead of time. We try to tell you guys a week ahead of time. And the thing is, hey, this is like we were saying before, the summer book club for Dead Pit. This is what we do in the summer to, you know, I guess for fun. Right. So
sometimes it's fun. Sometimes not so much.
I think it's even fun when it's bad. But okay. So let's get this party started here. And I guess the first one, if we're doing them chronologically, now this is a little tricky, but I want to go with the date that these movies were released.
1980s. Okay, you go ahead.
Yeah, so 1987, Aerobicide, a.k.a. Killer Workout. Which name do you prefer?
Uncle I actually Bill? Like Killer Workout better. I don't know why, but Aerobicide just doesn't do anything for me.
I think I might like Aerobicide better.
Yeah. Killer Workout has a double meaning, like Killer Workout and then Killer Work. I don't know. It's a neat pun.
Yeah. And but this one was made director... David A. Pryor, who is no stranger to shot-on-video horror movies. He did that sorry piece of shit Sledgehammer.
He did. Yeah, that was the first thing I thought about when I saw that guy. I was like, He's the son of a bitch that's responsible for Sledge. But he also did Deadly Prey. That's another one that I think Vinegar Syndrome put that out, didn't they?
I believe so, yeah.
He's very well known for early low budget horror films, slasher films, sci-fi films, shit like that.
Yeah, there was, I mean, I don't know what it was around this time period, but there were a lot of like health conscious exercise horror movies. Blood Diner is kind of one. Yeah. Like health, they're doing health food right at the Tupman Cafe.
Yep.
And Linnea Quigley's Horror Workout was also the same year. I get these two movies confused quite a bit.
So was Toxic Avenger, really. It was set at a health club.
Right.
Yep.
So with Killer Workout, takes place at the Second Sun Tanning Salon opening up. You got this hot young lady stripping down, getting in this massive ass fucking tanning bed that looked like a coffin, and it pretty much immediately gets engulfed in flames, right? Mm-hmm. And she becomes just a crispy bitch. So you fast forward, like I think they said it was like 5 years later, or 3 or 4 years later, yeah. Something like that. And yeah, lots of shots of young women doing aerobics, lots of close-up shots of their aunts. And this gym is Rhonda's gym. And she opened her own gym. And she happens to be the twin sister of the lady that was made a crispy critter in the opening segment of the movie at a different salon.
How many times are they going to use the twin thing in these slides?
The sibling and shit. And there's twins in both of these movies, kind of, right?
Yeah.
So Rhonda's kind of a cunt. Like, you get that immediate. Like, she jumps onto everybody. Like, she's hard to get along with. And, but soon people in the, Rhonda's gym get killed, and killed violently by a, person with a, and this is a first for a slasher movie. The killer has a giant safety pin, Uncle Bill. Have you ever seen that one before?
No, but that is so stupid. And this, I can't even tell you like how much I hated that. I mean, it's an original, I guess it's an original idea, but like.
Yeah, just because it's never been done before doesn't mean it's a good idea.
Yeah. Like, and not only does it look ridiculous when she like pulls it out, but like, it really limits what can be done in the film too, because they spend a lot of time with just like off screen kills with that fucking safety pin, which if they would have added some more variety to it, I feel like it would have been a lot better.
And there's some weird, just random shit in this too. There's a new employee, and it is hard. Uncle Bill mentioned this before, not getting these movies mixed up, because they are, you know, these two that we're talking about. But in this one, Chuck is a new employee at the gym, and he is just simply taking out the trash and gets into this fucking karate fight with this dude out there in the park.
Well, that's Jimmy.
First time he said, "You stay, keep your hands away from Rhonda, buddy."
So the funny thing about it is, they got this huge, like, I don't know, Italian kind of guy. His name is Jimmy, who's in love with Rhonda in this movie. And like, he gets into several different fights with this guy throughout the movie. He's basically like a creepy kind of like stalker kind of character that you know, you're never really sure. He's like a
Frank Stallone looking guy.
Yeah. Yeah. And he's kind of like there to put some doubt into your mind about who the killer is. But one of the best parts about this movie to me, though, like throughout the whole thing, is after every kill, almost every single kill, you get to sit through a 5 to 10 minute long aerobic workout. I'm not shitting you either. And it usually goes like the entirety of a song. So like whatever the song is that they're trying to push for each like workout, mm-hmm. you get to watch that entire workout with that song playing until that song's over with.
I mean, it's a good time waster. This is like a, it's still like an 80 some minute movie, right?
And I'll bet you no shit that 20 minutes of it is just those dance, like aerobic workout scenes.
Like, and it's like the director, David Pryor, is like, makes no mistake, like zooming in and at the areas that everybody, and yeah. It reminded me, here's what it reminded me of. Those shows back in like the, wasn't it Body Shaping on ESPN?
Yeah. Like, and, was it Kiana?
Kiana Tom. Kiana. And yeah. What was the other girl? Denise Austin, I think, was the other one that was on there or on one of those shows. And that was the only reason people watched that back in the day. But then along came the internet and nobody gave a fuck anymore. So those shows went away.
Really quickly, too.
There's an asshole cop in this.
Of course.
Lieutenant Morgan, who's investigating. The movie isn't really that well made, although it's a gazillion times better than Sledgehammer. I will give him credit there. It's definitely way better than that piece of shit. So ultimately, if you guys don't want the dead giveaway, just, you know, if you want to see this movie, just put it on mute here for a few seconds. So ultimately, Rhonda is the girl from the beginning of the movie, right? So that's the big unveil. There is no twin sister. She has assumed a new identity. Her name was really Valerie, but now she's Rhonda. And the reason that she's killing is everyone has perfect bodies and she can't stand it because she's got crispy titties.
Man, when they did that reveal.
When I say crispy titties, let's see. I mean crispy titties, baby. Yeah.
So I'm not sure even what the fuck that is, but it looks like somebody just smeared Play-Doh all over. Like, that's the whole effect. And she's bald, too, which makes it even better. Because that's, like, supposed to be a wig. And her whole head is all burned up and everything.
Oh, my God.
And they just, like, put Play-Doh in her head and like, a bald cap.
It doesn't look like peanut butter.
It's ridiculous looking. I could never take it seriously either. So, yeah, so this detective is basically like going around trying to solve this string of murders because one by one, everybody in the this is the part that in both these movies, right, I didn't understand. It's like defies all logic. So there's tons of people getting killed at this gym and just one right after the other. And they never decide to close the gym or even like put a couple of cops or anything. So this whole movie is this one detective running around like right after somebody gets killed, almost like catching the guy or the person killing him. And so there's like one scene where he kills somebody, then jumps out the window, and the detective like runs in the room right after that. There's another one where they kill somebody in like the gym, and like he comes into the room like 2 minutes afterwards. He's like the worst cop ever, number one. But secondly, though, he's like always about 5 to 10 minutes behind, and he never thinks maybe shutting down this gym would be a good way to stop all these murders because everybody that goes in there gets murdered. Like, and by the way, why are they going in there if they know there's been like a bunch of murders?
Let me ask you this too. In the beginning of the movie, like I was almost thinking that, and they never did really explain this, that this gym was possessed as well because the damn tanning booth catches on. They never did explain that. Was that just an accident? What was the deal? And have you ever seen a tanning booth that looked like that?
No, but it did. It did. Like when I saw that, I immediately thought of Final Destination. I was like, that has to be where they got that idea for that tanning bed death in Final Destination. It's the same thing, just more like souped up.
But she survived, right? And then she.
Yeah, she did.
Isn't it the lieutenant that she shows him off to? She's like, hey, Lieutenant, look here.
Well, he finds that. This is another part where I'm like, oh, Jesus Christ. He finds out that it's her, and he goes and confronts her about it. And I've got the dialogue here because it was so killer that sure. I couldn't fucking help it. He cuts the god-awful promo on her out of nowhere. So he, like, finds this out that it's really her. And he knows that, like, she's been burned or whatever.
Right.
And he goes up to her, and this is what he says. He says, the reason you're doing this is because you can't stand looking at all these beautiful bodies knowing that someone would get sick trying to bang you. It's like, that's what he says to her. And then, like, she looks at him like, she says something like, screw you. And he goes, I'm just doing my job. Like, what the fuck is that? Sense is that, mate? I'm going to insult the hell out of you, but that's just my job as a cop.
So, the question that I had throughout this, because Sledgehammer was a shot on video, I think it was the first shot on video horror movie, or that was one of the gimmicks that it had. And this looked like it was shot on video, but evidently this is shot on film, but the original elements are missing. So when they did the Blu-ray for this, they used like I think it was a Betamax tape from England. So that's why it looks like it's shot on video. But evidently, like, I don't know if the elements don't exist for this or what, but this is a film, oddly enough. Mm-hmm. And I was trying, it took me forever to find that information, but yes, like, I think Slasher Video, do you remember them from back in the day?
Oh.
They ended up doing, they were the ones that did the Killer Nurse movies. Do you remember those on DVD? And mm-mm. What else did they do, Chad? Help me out here. Like Nightmare Sisters, maybe, or something like that. Anyway, they had signed a deal to do Blu-rays with all the films, and this was one of the Blu-rays that they did back in, like, 2016. So the story is this was the best available source material they had was a Betamax master tape. And I think the one on YouTube, the one that's mainly out there everywhere, is from that Blu-ray. So, I mean, it looks kind of crappy still, but not...
I think, wasn't it like all of films that put out that Blu-ray?
Yeah, but Slasher Video is kind of like a co-release or whatever.
Oh, okay. I just know that, like, I looked it up after this because I just wanted to see, like, and it's out of print, of course, but it's going for, like, it's $45 or something like that on eBay, but I guarantee that somebody will eventually re-release that movie somehow or another.
It would be one. I don't have it in the collection, so I streamed it. But if somebody was to release it cleaned up, like, it's got some fun, goofy, stupid shit in it that I kind of like. So I would probably get it.
I mean, here's the problem with this. The biggest problem with the movie is not really the plot, because the plot of Death Spa is like 1,000 times worse and more complicated than this movie. But, like, the biggest problem with this movie is there's no gore in it, really. There's just a lot of, like, stabbings and a little bit of blood and things like that. But nothing that really... There's a lot of nudity, though. Both these movies have, like, a ton of nudity, which is great. I guess because they're centered around, like, gyms and things like that.
Well,
like,
people kind of expect that.
Right? Yeah. So, I mean, within the first 20 minutes of both these movies, you've got, like, full-on frontal nudity just right off the bat.
Yeah, I really enjoyed this movie, and I was kind of surprised it was as good as it was. But I honestly think if, like, somebody actually does a proper remaster on it, a lot of new people will probably discover it. Like, I think the video quality on it is kind of, like, some people, I think it would turn them away. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's pretty awful. I mean, the quality on it's pretty awful. It's also pretty awful. I mean, it's when, like I said before, when we judge these films, to me anyway, like, I'm not looking really particularly for a good film in the general sense of the word. I just want a slasher film that's entertaining and, like, has some cool elements to it or some funny elements to it. And this one does. I mean, it, at least to me anyway, the whole idea of, like, why she's doing it, and the ending of the movie especially, is hilarious. It's got some decent kills. They're not great. There's not, you know, a lot of gore. It's got some horrible dialogue, which is funny. I mean, it's just...
It's a good time. It's a good movie to watch with a group of friends watching horror movies together. Like, it's a lot of fun like that. And the big unveil at the end is laugh out loud funny. Like, I rewound that part.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, I'm going to have to include it in the show somehow. So I think we can get away with it. Let's show it again. Look at my crispy titties.
I'm fucked up.
Look how crispy and tittyful they are. All
right. That's the best they could do, man. That was the budget they had. They were like, we just get some modeling clay and just spread that on there and we'll just go with it.
Yeah. So, but yeah, Killer Workout, like I was saying, all the films has it. I mean, honestly, you can get the, I think they did a DVD too. You can get the DVD for pretty, like $15-16. So yeah, it's from a fucking tape. It's not going to look any better. So just get it on the fucking DVD if you want to have it, or wait until the remaster version comes out. Maybe somebody will do it. Terrorvision or.
Somebody will do this movie. Like they'll re-release it. I know they will. It's too hokey and campy for somebody not to pick it up eventually.
And very 80s, too. The 80s yes. are back. People love that sort of shit.
And when I was watching it, I couldn't help but think, like, it's really odd to watch a bunch of murders that are interspliced between, like, Debbie Gibson songs. That's what it sounds like. Like, you see a really horrific murder, and then, like, a Tiffany and Debbie Gibson-style song comes on, and they do an aerobic workout, and then, like, goes to the next murder. It's so odd, like the transition.
Yeah. Yeah, the acting is bad in it. It's not the most well-made movie. But overall, when it comes to a movie called, it's called Killer Workout, right? It's from the 80s. It had everything, aside from maybe the gore, that you would want in a goofy 80s slasher movie from that time period. Another thing that's kind of interesting is, and this will lead into the next movie. Towards the end of the movie, there were some teenagers that were spray painting outside of Rhonda's workout, right?
Yeah.
And one of them spray painted, oddly enough, Death Spa on the outside. Did you catch that?
No, I didn't.
Yeah. And I thought that was pretty interesting. And it's interesting because, and I guess we'll go into this movie, Death Spa. This one was shot before, like I think in 85, 86 or so, but was shelved for a few years. So this one was technically made before Killer Workout, but it didn't see the light of day until like a year after that one came out. So I thought that was kind of interesting. I didn't know if maybe the crew knew about that movie and was kind of like, because there was a lot of stuff like that came out around that same year, man. Like Linnea Quigley's Horror Workout was the same year. Blood Diner was the same year. And it's interesting that Death Spa did it. They filmed it all first, right? Before all that shit. But yeah, it didn't come out until later.
Yep. I don't understand. Like, because that is really one of the briefest kind of eras of like a particular, really specific subgenre like this. So this only really happened for like, what, 2 years or so? Mm-hmm. Like the fitness slasher movie. There was one called Slash Dance that I wish we would have watched too, that like came out. I've actually got it.
I think it's the same year, right? Or maybe like a year or two.
It had
later.
To be around that same year. Yeah. And I think Vinegar's one of the partner labels of Vinegar Syndrome put it out.
Yeah.
I wish I would have got watched.
So we have a long history with this one too, because this was one that we initially watched pre-Dead Pit, like on videotape or something. I don't know how long. This was probably back in the 90s or something, where
yeah.
you had it on videotape somehow. I bet that tape's worth some money now.
Probably. I've always liked this movie, and I could not ever really tell you why. It is like just the goofiest movie with the dumbest plot, but it's got some amazing gore. I think that's why I like it. Like just random.
And evidently it was more amazing before it got cut, because it originally received like an X rating or something like that, and they had to cut some stuff out of it. So that would be a kick ass if that still exists. Yeah.
And also too, something else to note about this movie is that like, if you get who put out the Blu-ray? I've got the Blu-ray. I just couldn't find it tonight.
Let's see. I've got it here. It was MPI, the same people that brought us the Texas Chainsaw Massacre chainsaw set that everybody loves.
So on the back of that, doesn't it say something like that this was a 2K transfer from the camera negative or something like that?
Yeah, from the original uncensored camera negative.
All right, we'll get into that more because there's a lot of scenes in this movie where there's no way that could be like a transfer from the original camera negative. But anyway, let's talk about Dead Spa.
Let's talk about it.
Some degree. So it's after hours at the Star Body Health Spa, which is amazing because it gets struck by lightning and then spells out Death Spa. And Laura is mysteriously locked inside of this sauna, which fills with gas and then ends up burning her eyes and almost kills her. So the guy that owns the place, Michael, he's the club owner. His wife committed suicide several years ago, or I think maybe like a year before that or something like that.
How did she commit suicide too? Like, that's pretty hardcore.
Yeah, that actually is in the grand scheme of this. Yeah. And so after that, the spa itself is apparently run by a whole elaborate computer system that controls everything. And it starts to either what you think is malfunction and create all of these like different wild scenarios that kill people. However, you end up finding out pretty quickly that it's not malfunctioning on its own. The computer system of the gym is actually possessed by the evil spirit of the now deceased wife of the owner. But is it though really? Because there's another subplot that involves a lawyer and who's trying to get Michael, the gym owner, in trouble by creating, you know, these horrible events that will cause him to lose the gym. So what's really going on
in Death Spa?
Yeah.
So this gym is basically like, you remember how Terrence Taylor was the computerized man back when he was in the York Foundation?
Yeah.
This is the computerized spa where everything is.
Computerized man. I forgot about that. What a horrible gimmick.
You like that?
I just loved it when Terry Reynolds would come out with that fucking like old ass, you know.
Yeah,
word processor,
big fat like laptop thing or whatever it was,
and she'd print out like statistics on the mask.
Their theme music was like a ripoff of the Santa Barbara theme song too, which I always cracked up at.
Yeah, it was great.
This the Death Spa is the computerized spa of the future, right?
Here's the thing about Death Spa. There's so much. You talk about a movie that has a completely unnecessary amount of like subplots in it where like they could have just run with that one simple like angle and it would have been okay with like, even that's kind of stupid, but like the idea that the gym is possessed by like the gym's computer is possessed by this ex-wife. But then there's all this other shit where you got like the creepy twin guy that's obsessed with her, and then you've got like the Ken Foree character in there for just no particular reason, and you've got the lawyer that's trying to like get the gym closed down. There's way too much extra shit going on in this movie that doesn't need to be in here. Luckily though, it culminates like in one of the best 10-15 minutes ever. Yeah,
like all leads up to this Halloween party at the spa and all hell breaks loose basically. And the whole thing that was funny is those like ultimately, and it tells you on the back of the fucking DVD, it's basically the vengeful spirit of Michael's wife, Catherine, like that killed herself a year earlier. But then like, they don't really have an accurate like explanation as to why would she want to do this? Right. She was depressed. Evidently, she killed herself or whatever else.
Well, she set herself on fire. Right?
Yes.
What a way to go.
It's not an accident, or she wasn't murdered by anybody. And
no.
Catherine wants to avenge her wrongful death or whatever. She kills herself. She pours gasoline or kerosene or whatever the hell it is on top of her and sets herself ablaze. And her twin brother, David, is the one that's over the computer systems. But it's obviously not just the computer systems going.
Yeah. And that's the other, red herring. There's so many like stupid ass, like red herrings that go nowhere in this, where it just ultimately ends up being her, like, which you kind of know.
And then she explains it to Michael. She's like, I just want you with me. I'm lonely.
There's a killer thing the killer line she says too, which took me completely off guard, where she was like, at the end of it, she's trying to get him to join her or whatever. She's like, come on, we can take a pathway to hell. Something like that.
Pathway straight to hell.
We can be joined together in the pathway of hell, Michael. It's like, Jesus, dude.
Yeah. So that, I mean, those, but this movie is fucking great, right? And I've always thought this every time after I watch this movie, especially the last 20 minutes or so of the movie really puts it over. Like,
yeah, I think that's what saves the movie, really.
There is tons and tons of gratuitous nudity in this and tons of gratuitous gore and death scenes and just craziness throughout most of this movie. And the weird thing is, the director of this, Michael Fiske, has not really done a whole lot else. Like, I was kind of shocked because, unlike Killer Workout, like, this is actually a very well-made and put-together movie, and it's shot on film and everything. And it's just a weird product of that time period where a movie like this could get a big enough budget. The gore was great in it. You'd have some fun cameos in it. Ken Foree, somebody mentioned here, he is one of the assistants, Marvin, in the movie. If you ever want to see Ken Foree with a mustache, this is the movie to watch.
If you ever want to see Ken Foree dressed up like the 1990 version of Pennywise, like, this would be because he's got that fucking...
Yeah.
I don't even know what that is, man.
That's traumatizing. That's some traumatizing shit for sure. Also, the girl that played Hillary in Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, is her debut, and she looks unbelievably young in this. But I don't think you get to see her.
No,
nude.
She doesn't get naked. She's just like...
It's unfortunate. But
it's weird because there's a lot of throwaway characters that are really like... really would have been good. They just kind of like, they don't use them that much at all in this movie. They're really well known now.
Yeah, there was another one that's very well known on like TV, like maybe CSI or one of those shows like that. But right in the same year, she was Tila in the Masters of the Universe movie.
Also, the guy, I was trying to figure out who the hell this guy is, but there's a cop in this movie. And I know I've seen him in something else too. But I cannot, somebody on here will probably know if they've watched the movie. I cannot peg what movie he was in that I've seen him in. But he's like a character actor as well, too. But they also, like, there's so many funny scenes in this movie.
The opening death scene in this, too, is, I guess it's Michael's girlfriend that she goes after. And I thought that they were gassing her to death or something like that, but evidently it was chlorine that got in the, what was it, the sauna or whatever the hell it was.
It's some sort of toxic gas, though, I think. It doesn't matter. It just makes her melt, basically.
It burned her eyes real bad or whatever, and then, he comes and gets her, and she's got bandages. It's just weird.
It's great, though. I mean, and this part makes no sense. So all these people are getting killed at this fucking spa, just one right after the other. And there's no murderer per se. Like, they just keep getting killed in these weird ways. Like, a diving board falls down, but they don't. The woman doesn't get killed.
My favorite one is where they're stuck in a freezer or something like that, and a dead fish comes back to life.
Okay. So this is one part of the movie that made no sense to me. So the woman is supposed to be possessing the computer, right? And that twin brother guy knows about it or whatever. But most of the time, none of the stuff connected to how they are killing people is run by a computer. It's just like a mirror or a fucking fish or like that doesn't have anything to do with a computer.
Right. Well, I think ultimately, like, she just possessed the damn entire spa.
She possesses the spa. Yeah, I think that has to be it. But like, so just to name a couple of scenes, because there's way too many great scenes, but I wrote down some of my favorites. So there's like the tile scene where all the tiles shoot out of the fucking shower and kill people, which you can clearly see like the parts with the little hoses behind the tiles that are shooting them off with air or something. Then you've got like the woman, this is my favorite scene in the whole movie by far, is the woman exploding in the mirror. So she just is like, she's just staring at a mirror, and then, the possessed one makes the mirror kind of like shake, and then just all the glass shoots forward, but it blows her entire like upper torso off. And it's such a hilarious looking scene.
Well, I like the scene too, where the woman's hand gets caught in the blender and it will not, it's like the blender is trying to eat her arm.
Like how would that work? Exactly. You couldn't get that blender off there.
And there's like a gigantic pool of fucking blood and this detective's trying to help and there's blood. It's almost like a scene in like Dead Alive or something. There's so much blood and like shit going everywhere. So
that is one of the best parts. There's like so much unnecessary splatter in this. Like there's a scene where they hire a paranormal investigator to figure out what's going on because they suspect that might be what's going on. And he goes down there and finds like this random woman who got like killed by gas down in the basement. But he tries to pull a gun on the spirit or whatever, and his fucking hand explodes. And like blood just squirting out of it, like shooting off.
Yeah, and then like she throws him up to the ceiling and throws him back down. And
yeah,
it's a wacky, wacky movie, but it's one of those movies that is way better than it has every right to be. And that's the thing that I always think. Like when you read about how silly the fucking plot of the movie is and everything, but you watch it and you're like, I mean, it is silly. It's got some silly shit in it. But technically, the gore, the gratuitousness, baby, this movie
nudity
is ten,
in this one too.
Yeah, 10 times better than it has any right to be and gets like probably the highest recommendation that I could give on one of these Cruel Summer Slashback movies. This is like it's a must-see, especially if you're into the cheesy 80s gore movies.
Oh, yeah.
Great. Like, there's the... I think the shower scene in this was with all porn stars. So if you want, you can go through and maybe identify some of them. I don't know. I didn't know that many from that era, but that's the top of it. Sleazy, you know, gory. Yeah, this is like top tier, man, when it comes to these slasher movies.
Yeah. I mean, it has all of the necessary components of like what make a really good slasher film. It's got tons of nudity. It's got tons of gore. It's got a completely incoherent storyline that's fucking hilarious. An ending that's hilarious. It's got like really good quotable stupid dialogue. Like there's a scene, and I wrote this down, and this is apparently a pretty well-known quote from this movie, but I wrote it down like right when I was watching it because it's killer. This woman walks up to this guy who's doing like exercises and shit like that, and she's like, hey, you know, you like, what are you doing later? Something like that. And he's basically like, I'm not going to be doing anything with you or something. She goes, why? And he goes, because I'm beta and you're VHS.
Yeah.
I'm like, what the fuck?
My wife heard that and she was like, did he say that? And I was like, yeah.
Yeah. Plus, it does have Kim Forey, but he doesn't do anything in this movie at all.
No, he's not really a central character or anything. He's more or less just like kind of like a buddy character or something. That's a weird movie for him.
It's paycheck. Yeah,
for him to be in. But the interesting thing about this too, the MPI Blu-ray, there is a making of documentary on Death Spa that's on this that is nearly an hour long itself. So I thought that was kind of interesting. You said you did have the Blu-ray, right?
I do have the Blu-ray somewhere around here, yeah.
Okay. That's one that I think it's still in print. I got it not too awful long ago, probably in the last 5 years I got it. So I don't know when it came out, but yeah, that's one that you'll definitely want to add to the collection if you're a fan of these type of movies. I think some people probably stay away from it due to the plot, thinking, oh, it's like a trauma movie or something like that, and it's really not. Like that at all. So
no, but I mean the gore is kind of similar to trauma, except it's a little bit better.
Yeah.
It's just, I don't even know how you describe this movie really. It's it's one of those movies we were talking about like before where it's like unintentionally hilarious in a lot of ways. Like I think in some ways they were trying to make it funny, but even the serious stuff is fucking hilarious. Like when they try to be scary or whatever, it's like one of the funniest things ever.
Yeah. And you'd said both of these movies, if people want to check them out, are for free on Tubi.
Yep.
Which I don't know how Tubi does it. They have pretty much everything.
I don't get that either. But like, if you want like really hard to find B movies and slashers, like they've got almost an Italian films too. Like they've got the best selection of that shit of anybody by far, by a mile. Yeah.
Cool.
And let's see here. I was looking at this to see if they had any information. It had a budget of $750,000, which is crazy. It's actually a pretty good budget for a film like that.
Yeah. I thought they did a good job with it. I was surprised the director didn't really go on to do much else. At least anything that I know of. I think he did some stuff, but you want to check out the poll and see what the fans voted for these two?
I'm curious. I suspect that Deathball would probably win.
So I don't know what's happened, but there's 115 people watching this, but only 49 people have voted. So what
apparently
the
people
fuck?
Don't have Tubi.
But yeah, Killer Workout at 37%, Death Spa at 63%. So yeah, I mean, I voted for Death Spa, but I like both of these movies. And like I was saying earlier, man, I think Killer Workout is one of those that a lot of people would discover for the first time if somebody like a Terror Vision or Vinegar Syndrome or somebody like that did like a proper restoration on it and a good edition. We can hope maybe someday.
Yeah. And I mean, it, don't get me wrong. Like there's parts in this movie too, where it slows down quite a bit. That whole thing with the brother angle and everything really makes everything drag to kind of a screeching halt. But then it has one of the best, like 15 minute, like long sequences. When they have the Mardi Gras party at the end, that is just everything about that sequence, the last 15-20 minutes of the film, is fucking perfect. Like everybody that gets killed, the kill scenes are hilarious and fucking gory and bad. And then when she's like, we finally show her and she's possessed and all this shit, and she's got all this horrible dialogue she's spitting out and like walking around like using telekinetic powers, that's all great. Like, just, I mean, the ending is just one of the best endings to a horrible movie ever.
Yeah. So I think both of these though get a recommendation. But yeah, Death Spa, I would agree with the chat on this one. It's definitely the better of the two. But Killer Workout is definitely one that you want to check out as well.
Yeah. I mean, Killer Workout's just a more traditional slasher film. It's very, very much like what you'd expect an 80s slasher film to be. Death Spa is like, seems like it starts off that way, and then in the middle of it, they're just like, you know what? Like, we're going to get fucking weird with it. And they do.
Get crazy.
They get as weird with it as possible.
But Killer Workout only came out in video stores, I'm pretty sure. I don't think that one ever had a theatrical release.
Did Death Spa have a theatrical? I hope to God it did.
I think Death Spa may have. I don't know. Look it on eBay. See if there's a one sheet of it or anything.
I'd shit myself if that movie actually had a theatrical release. It did. It says Death Spa was given a limited release in the United States in July of 1988, released in Japan in 1989 on video, before being released to VHS in the United States in 1990. I'll be damned if it didn't.
Yeah, I mean, it's always good. Like, I always thought she was very hot, too. I was kind of upset that she didn't show off her goods and that, but it is what it is.
Yeah. What a movie, though. Karen Parsons, I think, is her name.
Sure. I don't think she did much anything else after, like, what, that show went off the air, though, right?
No, she did Fresh Prince, and that, like, is what everybody knows her for. And I think she did TV, a little bit of TV, and that was it. I don't think she did any much anything else. Wait a minute. She did, though. Because wasn't she in fucking
Major Pain? I just thought of it, yeah.
Yep. That's the only other thing
what
I remember.
What a show. What a movie. What the fuck? What the hell ever happened to Damon Wayans, by the way? What was the last thing he was ever in?
He had a show that Lethal Weapon. He was like the Riggs character. Murtaugh character in the Lethal Weapon TV show, man.
I didn't know there was a Lethal Weapon
TV show. It was only on for like one or two seasons, I think, because something happened with the other guy that was playing Riggs and it got canceled. I don't know. But that was supposed to be his big comeback.
It didn't work out too well for him.
It didn't work out.
Poor fella. No. Maybe they can hope on that long-awaited Mo Money sequel. Everybody's been calling for Mo Money.
Fuck, what movie? He did some awful movies, didn't he?
I mean, have to make Mo Money, baby. But we're coming upon the end of the second year of the Cruel Summer Slashback series of shows. And for those of you that have not checked out all the old shows, there's a few ways you can do that, right, Uncle Bill? We've got a grand total of 36 slasher movies that we have taken a look at over the span of the last year. And all of those are up on the YouTube page. You're watching the 35th and the 36th review tonight. All of them are also up on the podcast feed. You can just search for Cruel Summer Slashback, wherever you get podcasts. And, man, we've taken a look at a lot. But we have got more coming up. We have got two more episodes of the year. And this next one's kind of a doozy because one of these movies we've kind of hinted at doing for a while. And talk about it, Uncle Bill. It's another subgenre of a subgenre.
Oh, Jesus Christ. What is it? I can't even fucking remember now. There's so many of these goddamn things.
Well, it's the supernatural slasher
subgenre. Oh, yeah. Okay. So one of these, like, I found a while back and was just, like, amazed that I'd never seen it because it was so... It was so good, in my opinion, and it combines like it's the definition of like combining a slasher film with like a supernatural kind of element, and that's a movie that Scream Factory actually put out called Superstition, and so we're going to be doing that one,
and also Uli LaMail's masterpiece from 1980. The most terrifying nightmare of childhood is about to return in The Boogeyman.
Can't wait to talk about that movie. So I've also seen that one long ago, too. That is such a wild fucking movie, man.
He is The Boogeyman. You remember is it Percy Rodriguez is the fucking guy that did the trailers back then? He's so fucking great.
The guy with the super, like, deep, kind of raspy voice almost. Yeah. Like,
he is the boogeyman.
The boogeyman. He just say something and just real quick, abruptly stop. Yeah.
Yeah. I think he did the Phantasm for Phantasm 2, whatever it is. Phantasm, the delusion of a disoriented mind. An entity.
And he just kept saying, like, different definitions.
Yeah.
Phantasm, a phantom spirit or something.
Yeah, that's some good shit, pal. But, yeah, I believe it's Percy Rodriguez. Anybody in the chat know him, look him up. Sort of a big deal back in the day. But, yeah, that's going to be a fun one, man, because I have never seen Superstition before. That's an early 80s slasher, I think, from 80. Well, both of these are early 80s slashers. You've got The Boogeyman from 1980 and Superstition from 1982. So yeah, if you guys want to watch them and then we'll all kind of review them and talk about them together, that is kind of the gimmick of these shows. And we encourage people to do that and join us in the chat and talk along with it and everything. And somebody was talking about one of the actors, I think from, and I didn't realize this from, Killer Workout passed away shortly after the movie, the guy that played David or whatever. Did you see that?
Mm-mm.
Yeah, I think he died of AIDS in like 1989. So I didn't know that. Somebody mentioned that in the chat too.
No, I had no idea.
That's unfortunate. There's a lot of people that died of AIDS around that time period too. I think it was just kind of coming out, and that was before the Magic Johnson pill come along.
The
saved everybody.
the late '80s.
The best thing that happened to AIDS is Magic Johnson got it, and he like put millions and millions of dollars into it.
That's actually kind of sadly true. Like, yeah, they really wanted to find a cure.
Yeah,
at that, or at least something to slow it down.
And now the cure's money.
Yep. But I watched The Boogeyman not long ago, and I actually watched Superstition around the same time.
Magic Johnson come along and dunked on AIDS.
Yeah, he slammed up AIDS. But like, never before have two movies been as different, I don't think, as The Boogeyman and like Superstition in terms of the way that they're filmed and the competency of the person filming them. So yeah, it'd be interesting to talk. I think the behind the scenes shit about Boogeyman is 10,000 times better than the actual film. So that'd be a good film to talk about.
Well, Vinegar Syndrome, it's been a while since I've seen Boogeyman as well. So I think I had the DVD of that. I'm not sure who even did the DVD, but I've since got the, I think it's the 4K, right, from Vinegar Syndrome.
Yeah.
So I will get to check the updated version of that out and talk about it. So yeah, I'm excited, man. Early 80s slashers are still probably my favorite. So anytime you get the chance, especially Superstition, which I'd never seen.
I can't envision a scenario where you don't like that movie.
And really that was an Anchor Bay release too. So I will check out the, I don't like, you know, Scream Factory, of course. So I'm going to check out the Anchor Bay DVD. Fuck you, Scream Factory.
Damn.
I don't want your Blu-rays. Stick them up your ass.
He's going backwards just to fuck with Scream.
Yeah, the killer from Popcorn also passed away from AIDS.
Yep.
We need to do a subgenre next year of slasher movies that AIDS killed the killer of the slasher movie.
Let's do that. That's a great idea. Oh, God.
I've made you mad like I made Felcher mad on them shows.
No, I'm not. I refuse fucking even engage in this. Nope. Can't do it.
Shit. Oh, shit. All right, guys, but that is it. We have some fun stuff coming up this week. Our buddy Heather, Baller and Shock Caller, has picked the commentary for Dude Bro Massacre 3. And I have not seen any of the other Dude Bro Massacre movies. So I'm going in totally
I'm praying blind. To God, is there more?
Or well, is there's got to like be at least one and two.
It might be just one of those movies where they just name shit like a sequel, I hope.
I don't know. Is it like Leonard Part 6?
Exactly. I feel somebody said I feel bad for laughing.
Oh, shit. So, yeah, we're going to do that on Thursday. We've got other reviews coming up as well. And the new podcast for the Anchor Bay Archives drops tomorrow on the podcast feed, on the Anchor Bay Archives podcast feed, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and everything. And it's going to be on the Born to Be Rad channel. Talking all about the history of Sleepaway Camp Survival Kit, the person that designed the box, the chaos that it caused, and all that stuff. So lots of good retro physical media stories on the podcast tomorrow. So I guess that's it. Anything else got coming up, Uncle Bill?
No. I mean, other than just Friday Night Lives being every Friday, that's the main thing.
All right, Bulls. We appreciate everybody tuning in. Don't forget to go and get your End of the Pit DVDs, endthepitthemovie.com, and stay tuned to the original Horror Talk Radio Show at deadpit.com. I want all these people to click everything they're supposed to click.
You haven't been liking them, you haven't been subscribing to them, you haven't clicked a bell or a notification or anything like that.
Folks, why don't you click the like button?
Do you hate us? Do you not want to see us succeed?
Why don't you click my heart button?
Is this something that you have against our particular show?
Why don't you subscribe?
You should click on one of them buttons right now if you want us to continue to bring greatness into your life.
There's all kinds of wonderful shirts over at shop.deadpits.com. Simply the best horror shirts on TeePublic. There are others, but they all suck. You can get some Dead Pit Radio shirts. You can get Last South on the left, The Hills Have Eyes, Texas Chainsaw. Oh, wait, you can't say Texas Chainsaw. All kinds of shirts, folks. You're gonna love them. Shop.deadpit.com.
Special thanks goes out to our supporters on Patreon. You know what kind of stuff you can get on Patreon, Uncle Bill, starting at only $1 a month?
What's that?
Access to every Dead Pit show since 2005. We got almost 200 fan commentaries that we've done over the decades.
Here's what other fucking Patreons do. They're like, hey, give us money, and then we'll let you see a video early that we're going to release like a fucking week from now, and then that's all we're going to give you. Meanwhile, we have a literal jukebox full of songs, thousands of reviews. I don't even know how many shows are up on that now that we've done over the years.
Hundreds of thousands.
You need to figure this out now and subscribe to us on Patreon and YouTube and Instagram. Help us to 1 million. The road to a million subscribers starts today.
So deadpitonpatreon.com. Join today. Tiers start at only $1, but I'd recommend at least the $10 tier.
You can do 50. The stock market's crashing around us, folks, but send us money.